Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, October 26, 2021. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeoye Jr. Joining me is my PS I Love You XOXO co-host, Gamonesis, aka Janet Garcia.
Yo, what's up?
Not much, Janet. How's it going with you?
It's going pretty good. I finally finished season two of Ted Lasso. No spoilers. We watched like six episodes last night.
How do you feel about it? Because I've seen my Twitter timeline be divided in terms of how they feel about season two of Ted Lasso. And I really liked it, but I wouldn't say I liked it as much as season one. That's where I'm at.
I would agree with your assessment. That's where I'm at. I liked it. I didn't think it was as good as season one. I feel like they had a few, again, no spoilers, a few like two convenient conflicts appear and then immediately dissolve. And I think, you know, it's funny watching Ted Lasso as someone that likes soccer and like partially follows soccer, has been like, you know, immersed in soccer a little bit, or like just sports, like seeing how they approach certain conflicts that appeared where it's like, wow, this would be a really, really massive thing that would have huge repercussions in real life. And they're like, and then it all worked out great. And it's like, And it is a feel good show. But I think sometimes when they pull on real issues, they sort of resolve them a little too conveniently, even though I get that it is a feel good show at the end of the day. But on the whole, though, I really enjoyed it. The writing of that show is just really phenomenal, even if I think some of the plot points weren't really things I was a huge fan of. I definitely have concerns for season three because I wonder how, I think the show struggles to make like authentic and intriguing conflict after season one. Like, I think they're kind of just throwing in issues and trying to figure it out. And I think it has mixed results.
No, I hear where you're coming from. Cause for me, season one, I think started from a place of there is a central conflict and this show has people that are quote unquote like bad people. There are bad guys in the show, and season two kind of did away with that a little bit. And it kind of is the reverse of season one, where season two kind of, I'm not going to spoil anything. I guess I'm just going to spoil like tone and flow, but I'm not going to spoil any plot points, right? Like, season one works toward a place where, you know, there is resolution at the end of that season, but then season two starts from a place of resolution and like, it's all kind of happy-go-lucky and then slowly devolves into getting more conflict in there. And I think it just made for a show that felt different. Not a show that I felt was like demonstrably worse. There were people on Twitter that I saw were like, yeah, I hate season two.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, like, I saw people be like, oh, I hate Ted Lasso now. And I was kind of, and I tried to avoid spoilers, you know, but like, I still want to like live my life. So you do what you can. And I saw some people kind of say like, oh, Ted Lasso, like, oh, I hate him now, X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, he's very much the same character. So I'm not really sure, you know, what that read was. But
yeah,
it hit different.
Now, I'm responding in chat because I'm looking at chat right now. And Kebab says, hey, Blessing is in a Kotaku article. And so as we're sitting here, I'm going to open up Kotaku.com. And if I had to guess what this is, I bet you this is about N64, because I was tweeting last night. I was tweeting a lot about the N64 last night.
It definitely seems like it's N64.
How was that?
Well, I guess I found out in the article.
Oh, we're going to talk. I found it. Oh, my God. I can't wait to talk about this. I have it as story number, I think, 3
on the Roper Report. Great,
and so we're for sure going to talk about this. But yeah, I was tweeting about some of my impressions on that N64 online that is now available on Switch online. But Janet, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about Returnal getting a highly requested feature, and we'll talk about a Quiet Place video game and more, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames, roosterteeth.com, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. Remember, you can use Epic Creator Code Kinda Funny on all Epic Store and Epic in-game purchases like Rocket League and Fortnite to help support the channel. To be a part of the show, at patreon.com/kindafunnygames, where bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad-free with the exclusive daily post show. Housekeeping for you, a new episode of PS I Love You XOXO is up right now, and it is Janet and mine's predictions, hopes, and dreams for this week's PlayStation State of Play. You have approximately 24 hours to watch or listen to that episode before it's out of date, or you can just watch it and listen to it later and just make fun of us for what you got wrong and what you got right. So jump on that episode. Of course, you know where to find that. And in that same place where you can find that episode, you can also find our Guardians of the Galaxy review. That's right, youtube.com/kindafunnygames. That is up right now as a Kinda Funny Games cast. That's featuring me, Tim, Snow, Michael, Michael, and the momentary return of one Greg Miller. Like I said earlier, you can catch that on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and on podcast services around the globe. And still speaking of youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, Barrett's Arkham series continues with a video all about Arkham Origins and whether it still holds up. That is up right now. And the final episode, all about Arkham Knight, premieres this Sunday on Halloween at 2:30 p.m. Pacific time. So keep an eye out for that. That's happening Sunday instead of Monday. So let's get hype. Barry, how hype should people be for this last episode?
I think people should be excited. You know, I think each of these episodes have kind of, I think they ebb and flow together really well with the kind of themes that I tackle for each episode. And I think it all kind of culminates in what I talk about in Batman Arkham Knight. I think each video game covers a specific aspect of fear, and I think they nail that for the most part. And I think like how it all kind of wraps up with Arkham Knight and what I have to say about that game, I think people should be very excited. So join me on Halloween, the day that the game takes place, which is Halloween night, 2:30 p.m. Pacific, to talk about Arkham Knight and how I think it is a masterfully told ending for the Batman Arkham story.
I love the angle of how the different games take a different approach to approaching fear, because Barrett, like, this last week I've been listening to a lot of Kendrick Lamar, and Kendrick Lamar has a song called Fear. And a couple of days ago, I was listening to that song, and I was like, man, what a masterful song this is. What a great song. Each verse each verse is like a different take on fear. So like a lot of people would say that Kendrick Lamar is the Rocksteady Games of rap artists.
I'll say that to give a tease, right? Arkham Asylum, I talked about how that game is all about designing fear. Arkham City is about becoming fear. Arkham Origins, which just came out yesterday, is about discovering fear and the importance of discovering fear as Batman. And Arkham Knight's episode this Sunday is all about facing your fears.
Very similar to the Kendrick Lamar song, where the first verse was about the first verse was about fear at 7 years old. Second verse was about fear at 17 years old, and the third verse was about his fear at 27 years old. Everybody go listen to that Kendrick Lamar song. It's called Fear. But the spoilers don't ruin it. You know, like it's part of the experience.
It was more talking about the vibes than the plot points of the song. So
Go listen to it. It's on his damn album from 2018. Great album. I didn't like that album enough back in the day. Now that I've gone back and listened to it.
Out after like Pimp a Butterfly, which is like one of the best albums like of that year and one of like the best hip hop albums like
of all
of
time.
It's really damn good.
But now
it's really damn good.
Really damn good. Yeah, now that I'm going back to it, I'm like,
damn,
was really good. And I didn't give it its flowers. And right now I'm giving it its flowers. That is an excellent album that I should have.
Question is, will Horizon 2 be the dam of that franchise? You know what I mean?
What does that mean? Like, are you calling Horizon Zero Dawn to Pimp a Butterfly?
So you don't, it doesn't get the same flowers as the other one did.
I would say Horizon, this is my prediction. If we're sticking with the Kendrick Lamar references, I think Horizon Zero Dawn is probably the good kid, Mad City. And Horizon Forbidden West, I think, will be the To Pimp a Butterfly.
Wow.
Now, this is me saying this.
That's a high compliment.
To be clear, I wouldn't say Guerrilla Games is the Kendrick Lamar of video game developers.
I would agree with that. Who is the Kendrick Lamar video games studio-wise?
Naughty Dog.
Also, we should probably talk about the news at some point.
That's a very good Blessing Janet topic. Let's save that for the post show. I think that's a good post show topic.
I think
Who is the Kendrick Lamar of video games? But before we get there, I want to thank our Patreon producers, Pranksy and Blackjack. Today we're brought to you by DoorDash, DraftKings, and Liquid IV. But we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have six stories today.
Up it goes! Doesn't.
Really good job, Barrett. Starting with our number one, Janet, this is a great, usually me and you don't unite on a Tuesday. And shout out to Barrett and shout out to L2 Larson for getting the hashtag PS I Love Tuesdays graphic up on the video version of the show. We appreciate you for that. But this is a great Tuesday because this is kind of a follow-up on our PS Love You from yesterday in a lot of ways, because there's quite a few bits of PlayStation news to talk about. And so this is almost like a PS Love You part two for this week, for the folks who have already listened to our PS Love You that came out this morning, that they can check out on youtube.com. It's kind of funny games on podcast services around the globe. Our story number one is about Returnal and how Returnal has got a big update that adds what we've all been asking for. This is from Janet. Remind me how I'm saying this name.
Chaim? I'm not sure. I don't think I've read it before.
I think it might be Chaim. I've said this before, and then
it might be.
I thought you corrected me, but it might have been kind of funny.com/you're wrong that corrected me. I'm going to say Shem, but I'm very much mispronouncing
I'll look
that.
It up as you
Gartenberg,
go.
Please do. And this is from The Verge. Returnal's 2.0 update is out today, bringing two of the most requested features for Housemarque's punishingly difficult sci-fi roguelite: the option to suspend the game in the middle of a run without losing progress, and a photo mode for capturing all of Atropos's most stunning visuals. The lack of a suspend mode has been one of the biggest knocks against the otherwise well-received title. An average run in Returnal can easily take upward of 45 minutes and had to be completed in a single gameplay session. Players were unable to close out Returnal and come back to a run later, and if the console was accidentally shut down or lost power, you'd lose all of your hard-won progress. The new, quote, suspend cycle mode aims to fix that. It's not a traditional save mode. You won't be able to save scum your way out of poorly made decisions or bad luck, but it will let players create a single suspension point, exit the game, and return to the moment they left. There are some limitations, too. You won't be able to create a suspend point during boss fights, cinematics, any of Returnal's first-person sequences, or when players are deep in combat. But even with those caveats, it's a much-needed addition to the game. As Housemarque game director Harry Kruger explains, quote, "With this approach, we can keep the roguelite spirit and high-stakes commitment to your run intact, while still providing some quality-of-life convenience for players who like to experience Returnal in shorter bursts," end quote. Returnal's new update also adds a photo mode, which will let players pause the game at any point, pan around the frozen environment, and snap a picture of the exact moment they want. Janet Garcia, is this enough to make you go back to Returnal?
That's the question I immediately started asking myself. I feel like no, because it's still not, you know, it's not like you can, like this article mentioned, you can't like save scum your way sort of through the situation, which I'm really looking for ways to get out of doing the work that's required of me from this game. And this is not quite that. Like, it still has, you know, its difficulty and its general, like, genre constraints that, or not even genre constraints, because you can make roguelikes or roguelites that I feel are a little bit
more approachable,
simpler to get through, and they're like, you know, but whether what the length of the game or however you want to slice it. But it is tempting. This is the most tempted I've been, for sure. And I think that's kind of the point, right? God. Where it's people like me who were turned off by a lot of the trappings of this. It kind of alleviates some of that. And then people that were into it, but maybe just have different lives that don't allow them to go for like this epic run, can kind of, you know, lean into that. I think it's a solid solution. I think what I like about this is it's clear that the developers want to design it in a certain way, but they also want to sort of meet their audience halfway with what their needs are. And I like that this, you know, maintains their creative vision while
can I interrupt you real quick? Barry, I need you to pause and go about 10 seconds back.
Hold on.
And all And I need you to play this video with sound, because the video that you're playing right now is the announcement trailer for this update. Mm. And I got to the end of this trailer and I laughed my ass off. Right.
Oh my god, so I'm scared.
Is the sound up?
Sound's up. I'm not going to be able to hear it, unfortunately. But you kids have some.
It's fine. All right, yeah. Go ahead and press play on it.
Okay.
So this is the reveal, and it's this epic like. Oh, perfect. That's perfect. Okay, yeah, so this reveal is like the dude sitting in his chair with a DualSense looking at a TV. He clicks pause and then. I love how dramatic.
How dramatic clicking suspend is.
Dramatic the reveal of you can suspend your game now. Like they made it a whole thing of they shot somebody on their couch, hitting the options button, tabbing down to the suspense cycle option, and then like lingered on it for what felt like a good 10 seconds for what is effectively a save your game feature, which I think is hilarious. But
also, I think it's Haim for the name.
Haim? Okay, that's what I thought, but I could remember, so I appreciate that. But yeah, I think this is a good feature. I'm very happy they added this. I was one of the people that reviewed the game and beat the full game during that review period, and I remember struggling so much. It took me 30 hours to beat. And a lot of that was having a lot of good runs, but I would have quite a few runs that I did lose throughout the way, right? Like, there were times where I would get halfway through a run, and it's a good run, and I have to go to bed or some shit. And I wake up, and my PlayStation is updating. Or, like, I'm going through a run, and I get a crash or something like this. And then I don't think, for the record, I don't think this necessarily fixes the crash problem, because it very much seems like the suspend feature is very much so you can turn off your game without losing your progress, but it seems like, I think if you're mid-run and the game shuts down or whatever, I think you're still going to lose that progress. So this isn't a perfect fix, but I think it is a step toward, all right, this is a good, this is a good halfway point for a game that I think wants to be hardcore and doesn't want to let people save scum, but also allowing people an option if they want to take a break or go away from their PlayStation 5 and not have to worry about entirely losing their progress.
I think, well, the way it says here, your current cycle has been saved and now is now suspended. Returnal can now be safely closed from the screen. Mm. So, like, I feel like what it is like you can turn the game off from here, correct?
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
So that, even if it update, like, even if, like, you get a system update, I don't think that's going to affect the...
No, I think that's gonna be fine. Okay. And what I'm talking about is if your game crashes, like if you're in the middle of a game and it crashes out of nowhere,
that's true.
I think you're still gonna lose the entire run, which is still gonna be a bummer. But I do think that this is a solution that is not, I wouldn't say good enough, because I still think there's a lot of people that aren't gonna be satisfied with the solution. But it's a solution that works for me and how I would play this game. Because I'm the kind of person, for the most part, that, you know, like, I just wanted to be able to sleep well at night, knowing that my Returnal run was not going to be lost after I put my game to sleep, right? Crashes happen. And for the most part, like, this article mentions that a Returnal run can easily take upwards of 45 minutes. It'll take longer depending on what that run looks like. Because, not spoilers for Returnal, like, I guess mechanical insight for Returnal, you can unlock shortcuts and shit that'll help cut runs short, and so you're not having to redo the entire run over and over again. But there are runs that I've had where I am going through each of the areas available to me, and I'm combing through each room, trying to get as many upgrades as possible, and that is leading to runs where by the time I'm getting very late into that run, I am running upwards of, like, 2 hours. And that is where the stress gets me of, okay, if my game crashes, I'm going to be upset. But those runs, I think, are few and far between with how often you are unlocking shortcuts and other ways to progress the game a little bit faster than the 2 hours that it would occasionally take you to get deep into a run like that.
Yeah, I think this is definitely, like, better than nothing, which is what we had before. I also like that they added a couple other things. I think the inclusion of photo mode and stuff is pretty fun. But thinking about it again, when you asked me at the top of this, this is going to bring me back to Returnal. You know what? I'm going to have to say no, solely because I'm still recovering from the mental strain of Metroid Dread. And the thought of, I did get to, like, the first boss in Returnal and, of course, got waxed because, like, I just pulled up and I didn't know what was going on. The thought of having to memorize those patterns, no, I already did that. I don't want to do it again. God. I don't want to do it again.
I'm coming off, like, the high of Metroid Dread and, like, looking at this.
Those people.
Like, looking at the trailer for Returnal and just, like, because most of this trailer, right, is, like, showing off the photo mode. But, like, showing off, like, some of these fights and, like, just showing off some of the bosses, I'm like, man, I kind of want to go back.
I was having the same thing. As they're going through the photo mode options, I was like, damn, this game looks so,
like,
good.
This boss fight is dope as hell. The last one that they show here, like, I thought this, like, oh, man. Remember when you first get to hear Blessing and you're like, oh, my God, I'm at the end of the game. And then they're like, fuck you. No, you're not. And it's like, oh, God, I love it. I love it so much. Dude, I'm never going to platinum it, but, like, I might fucking go back and do a run.
I was thinking about planning it when the game first came out, and I forget exactly what made me give up. I think it was
procedural generation for the collectibles.
Yes, that is exactly what it was. And there were updates that kind of helped alleviate some of that stuff, but it's still enough to make me go, nah, that seems like a big hassle. That said, I went back to capture some footage for Returnal for the latest episode of The Blessing Show. And as I was playing that game again for, like, the first time in months, I was like, oh my God. What a game. What a game this is. Returnal still is one of the best experiences this year for me. It is a top three game easily, and, like, it's still in my running for game of the year, like, against games like Deathloop and Life is Strange, True Colors. And so, like, yeah, dude, I'm with Barry where I'm thinking about going back to it just to fuck around and maybe just do a run or two to see if I can complete the game again. But yeah, I'm very happy they've added this. I want to fuck around with the photo mode options that they're showing as they're going through. I didn't include them in the write-up, but, like, there's quite a few good stuff in there. Like, all the things you'd expect for a good photo mode are in there. And so you can mess with lighting, you can mess with things that appear on screen and appear off screen. Like, you can go through and be fairly detailed with it. And so, good on them. I'm glad they have this update. Give me some DLC, though. Give me, like, a new biome. You know, give me two new biomes. God. Give me some content.
Love the biomes, bro.
Love the biomes. Janet, let's talk about story number two. A Quiet Place video game has been announced. I'm pulling from Matt Perslow at IGN. A video game based on A Quiet Place is currently in development and due for release in 2022. The game is being created by Saber Interactive, Illogica, and Epitome, and is set to be a, quote, untold story of survival in the A Quiet Place universe, end quote, suggesting that this will not follow the events of the acclaimed horror movies from John Krasinski. Quote, this first official video game set in the terrifying A Quiet Place universe will deliver an original story and gameplay that captures the compelling suspense, emotion, and drama for which the series is famous, said a statement from Saber Interactive. They continue, the game is in development by Illogica, the Montreal-based studio with veteran talent from the Rainbow Six and Far Cry franchises, and published by Saber Interactive, the Embracer Group company behind the hit game World War Z and the upcoming Evil Dead the Game, end quote. An official website is already live, but provides nothing beyond a logo and a promise that the game is coming in 2022. Janet, are you excited for A Quiet Place video game?
For that answer, I'm going to say, I don't know. I'm going to say no. I'm wary, I think. I feel like inherently that would have to be a stealth game, which I think stealth is really fun. I think stealth is also at its best when it is a game primarily focused on stealth. I think stealth often fails when it's integrated in other games where it's sort of just like a side mechanic. Usually it's just not in-depth enough to be entertaining. But I love the first Quiet Place movie. Again, these aren't going to be following that movie, but just thinking of that universe and the tension there, I think there's like a lot of potential. I feel like this would be a fun, like, you know, I can imagine this on like PlayStation and like using the DualSense and all that, but I also can imagine that being maybe not so great in the sense of, I'm thinking of like, that's again spoilers for a mechanic in Until Dawn, but where you have to hold the controller still or like, yeah, breathe with the like stuff like that I wasn't as into. It's like trying a little too hard to be immersive. So yeah, I'm intrigued by this, but I'm not, you know, confident it'll be good. I think especially too, I can't say I'm particularly a fan of the team that's working on it, like the other, you know, works they've done. So
yeah,
I guess I'm a little bit wary of it, but I do like that they're not trying to follow the movie. I think maybe that's for the best, just because, you know, when you are following directly an IP, you have these expectations because you already have a pre-existing relationship with the IP and the story being told, and in your head there's a way it already goes very directly. And I know this happens a lot, like in media, where you can argue a lot of the Marvel movies, right, those are based on the comics, but I feel like that disconnect is a lot broader. There are so many people that watch those movies that don't read the comics versus I'm guessing most people that would check out this game probably would have watched the movie. So you kind of bring in all these extra expectations. So I like that they're taking a more just the universe angle. I did immediately think of Last of Us comparisons with this, just the idea of like going through a journey in a world that's unforgiving. But, you know, I think that doesn't mean it's automatically set up for failure. It's just, these are kind of my first thoughts when I hear about this. Where's your head at with this one?
I think it's an interesting one. You bring up the developer and, like, you know, not really having any of their other works to kind of go off of or feed into hype. As I was putting together this story, I was looking through. I was like, okay, what has Illogica done as a developer? And mainly they've done assistant work and porting of other games. And so they did some work on Cuphead. They did porting work on games like Lara Croft Go and some other, like, mobile stuff. And then they've also done some original content, but the original content is nothing standout, right? Like, they've done a game called Subaria on PC and PS4 and Xbox One, and then they've also done another multiplayer, or they're working on a multiplayer mobile game that is supposed to launch this year, but we're toward the end of this year and it seems like they've not announced it, and so we'll see what happens with that. This developer doesn't really have a history that really lines them up as a, oh yeah, let's get hyped for this. That said, when you look at the publisher being Saber Interactive and look at games like World War Z and the upcoming Evil Dead game that they have going, you know, maybe this is their first shot of, all right, cool, let's make something bigger and greater and something that is going to stand alongside those games and something that feels a bit bigger budget. And with that, I get curious on what it's going to be, because again, we have nothing to go off of. When I go to the website for the Quiet Place game, the only things that they say about it are, it's a terrifying new video game, experience an untold story of survival in the Quiet Place universe. And like, it's easy to kind of put on our, I guess, like, Sherlock Holmes hat and go, all right, they say survival, is it a survival game? Oh, they say experience an untold story, is it going to be a single player narrative game like The Last of Us? And like, really, like I think there's not much value in like looking at the info that we have so far. If I had to theorize, what comes to my mind from the publisher of a world from the World War Z game is, oh, okay, what if this is a 4-player co-op multiplayer game that is stealth, like you said, because I mean, that's easily what you would do with the Quiet Place IP, and have it be a, I had to be quiet with my teammates, and we had to figure out how to take out the monsters from the Quiet Place. I forget what the monsters are called, but you'd have to take those things out without being, we'll just call them clickers for shits and giggles. You have to take those out.
It's just, you know, we figure it out.
Yeah, it's some. You have to take those out without causing too much noise, right? I think something like that is kind of an easy thing to jump to. I can also see it being a, I guess, single player Quiet Place game, but I don't
Wake Daddy the game. Do you remember that board game, Don't Wake Daddy? Like, does that ring any bells for you? Really?
It does not. What? No.
Yeah, like you've never. That was like a board. It was like a board game about not waking up your dad. Yeah, it was called Don't Wake Daddy, and it was like the theme is like you're a kid trying to like go to the fridge or something, and you're trying to.
Bear, what do you think?
I don't I heard Don't Wait Daddy. Which I was like, that's really weird. That's a really weird name for a board game.
No, that's a very different game. that probably is out there too. But that's what comes to mind when you say that. I think another genre possibility too, like you mentioned them doing port work on Lara Croft Go, which is a really fun, awesome mobile game and kind of like tile move based in its movement. What if it was something like Overland, where it's like a strategy game and you are sort of having to like maneuver around, and maybe the way that sound is incorporated is like certain things you do maybe have like a noise level and you have to sort of navigate and negotiate that risk. Yes, this is the Bear, they were pulling up the commercial for Don't Wake Daddy. Let me know if y'all played this game. I don't
if I played this game. This is unlocking memories. Remember this commercial,
right? Yeah, okay, right, because we're like, I think it was there, it was in the ether.
It was something. It definitely was on TV. I remember those commercials. I don't think I ever, as a kid, watched that commercial and went, oh, I want the Don't Wake Daddy game. I never internalized it that way, in the way that I would have, like, a Hot Wheels commercial or something.
I wasn't writing that down on, like,
that was airing, like, right before, you know, like, the new episode of SpongeBob on Saturday mornings back in, like, 1999 or some shit.
Yeah, like, there were some of those commercials that hit and others that didn't, and that was one of the ones that didn't. Like, it wasn't,
remember,
like, the
Perfection?
No, I was going to mention what are the big pieces in it? What are the inflatable? Oh, I do remember that, actually.
Oh, the gloves? You're talking about the gloves?
Yeah, Rock'em Sock'em or something like that. Sock'em Boppers. I remember that.
The song was so inappropriate. The song was Blow 'em Up, Stick Your Hand Inside, Have the Time of Your Life. Those were the lyrics of the song. This is a real ad.
I never thought back to it. That is fantastic. I'd never put that together as an adult.
Yeah, I mean, I have questions, is what I have. I have no answers, but I have a lot of questions for what was going on with that team's track. But yes, I do remember. Did you have Sock 'em Boppers? I never had those. I'm like, no. You want to beat each other up? Just like, we have plenty of objects that we can throw at each other. We don't need to be buying this.
I think my next door neighbor did. Like, there was the kid that lived next door to me growing up was around the same age, and so like we became best friends because he had an Xbox, I had a PlayStation, and so like, you know, we were like, we're buds. We were like, oh yeah, I'll come over and play a little bit of Halo and Star Wars Battlefront, and then like he'll come over and play like watch me play Spider-Man 2 on the PS2 because I was one of them shitty friends that would make him watch me play video games. But yeah, no, I never actually owned the Sock 'em Boppers, which is in retrospect probably a good idea because I would have been a menace with those things. My parents would have gotten sick of me. I would have gotten so many whoopings. But back to A Quiet Place, I'm curious and kind of looking forward to whatever this is because I do like the Quiet Place movies. I think Quiet Place both 1 and 2 are fantastic movies, and them working on something that is along the lines of a scope of maybe a World War Z or the upcoming Evil Dead game makes me wonder, like, oh, okay, maybe this could hit. You know, like, I'm not a World War Z fan by any means, but I play the game, I will play the game because I think the game is fun enough. And then the Evil Dead game doesn't really excite me just because I'm not an Evil Dead person. I am a Quiet Place person, and so a Quiet Place game would get me excited if I could see a trailer and if it looked good enough. And so I'm looking forward to that. Story number 3. Janet, let's talk about Nintendo Switch Online. Them N64 games have some issues. I'm pulling from Tom Phillips at Eurogamer for the write-up. Nintendo's pricier Switch Online Plus Expansion Pack subscription is now available, including a selection of N64 classics, though not all are working as intended. Subscribers have reported a number of general issues, including lag and low frame rates, but a couple of games also feature more specific problems. Mario Kart 64, for example, displays a warning that the game will not let you save ghost data, as this feature required an N64 controller pack in the original game. This emulated version of N64 does not appear to have been altered to support this via other means, and no, there's no slot for a controller pack in the Switch's new N64 controller. Sin and Punishment is another game with an issue, this time with how the Switch version translates the original game's controls. Here, the strafe left and right, and as I'm reading, Barry, I don't know if you pulled it up already, but I have a link at the bottom of the article to some images that they put in here to illustrate what we're talking about. We can go through those as I go. Here, the strafe left and right actions were mapped to the yellow controller buttons in the original, also known as the C buttons. I never called them the controller buttons. In this emulated version, these are replicated on the Switch's face buttons. But the Switch version also has you pressing the right trigger to shoot, which remaps the face buttons at the same time, removing the move right button in the process. Next, on to Mario 64, and less of an issue, but more of an annoying quirk. On Nintendo Switch Online, Mario 64 offers a different version in Japan that includes Rumble. This is the Japanese-only Shindu version with Rumble Pack support, meaning you'll need to change your Switch's region to Japan to play the game with vibration. European and North American catalogs only feature the game's launch version. So lastly, some examples of those issues with lag, which produce warped versions of these iconic startup screens. And Barrett, I have those videos up if you want to actually pull up those videos, because it is ridiculous.
Wait, so which videos am I looking for here?
So in the article, they have some videos. They should be toward the end of the article of the Mario 64 start screen. And basically what it shows is, because of how badly done this is by Nintendo, the Mario 64 start screens sometimes will start up all warped. You can go ahead and play it. Or does it have, if you could play it with sound, actually, that's probably more ideal.
Because
the sound is the main issue here.
Okay. All right. Hold on.
I'm so scared for what this is going to be. Oh, yeah. It even mentions in the shot, like, your connection's unstable. Audio may not be, maybe interrupted.
Yeah, there you go.
Spooky.
Right? So
this
that's
is
one.
Like,
and
Mario, like, gone off of too many.
You can stop this now. This is making my ears bleed. There's also another example, if you want to pull it up, that I think is under that one. Yeah, this right here. Yeah. So you can go ahead and stop that. And I think the issue here is that they're playing online, right? Because if you look to the left, you see but for both of these videos, they have people that are connected into their party. And so the issue is they are streaming those games, and that is causing just lag. And
it was Nintendo Online, not good.
Wait, so but why would you need two players for Mario 64? I'm confused.
Listen, I'm not judging this person's issue.
There are some games. Well, actually, Blessing, have you done two-player Mario 64? It's such a specific question. It's only been out for, like, 12 hours. So I don't know if you've done that, like, with your time with the N64 expansion pack.
Explain.
Typically, I don't have the expansion pack, but I've had the, you know, NSO with the other games. And a lot of times, they let you do two-player for games that are not two-player. But instead of, like, making the game two-player, they just kind of make it so that you can take turns playing it. Let me know in the chat if y'all have actually, like, tried this out and can speak more specifically to what it actually is. But that would be my guess for what two-player Mario 64 would be like. Or maybe when Mario dies, like, it goes to player two or something like that. Because that was sort of what they did for other games that were not multiplayer games that had two-player functionality in the other retro titles.
Yeah. And so it might also be like a thing of I want to play Mario 64 and have a friend watch me play or some shit like that. It is more useful for something like Mario Kart 64, which I was thinking about playing online last night with people, but during my stream, last night I streamed quite a few N64 games, and one of the ideas I had was, oh, let's play some Mario Kart 64, but I immediately stopped myself from doing online because I knew for a fact that the online wasn't going to function well, because we're talking about Nintendo Switch Online, which historically doesn't function well.
Which is what you're paying for, right?
Which is what I'm paying for, and this is where I get, this is where I go from being a dissatisfied customer and being somebody who is like, oh, it's kind of bullshit how much this costs, to being frustrated and angry.
All you need is a little push.
Janet, it's fucking $50. It's $50 fucking dollars that I paid for this thing.
Right, I'm not bringing my family into this hellhole of Nintendo shoddy products. Like, if I have to, like, you know, and people have pitched me on content or like, oh, it'd be fun, do this thing. And I'm like, that's all fine, well and dandy. And if I end up, you know, doing anything with it. I'm not against playing 64 games on my Switch, but I'm not paying for it. Y'all gonna have to drop me a code with that, yeah, like for a year, because I'm not gonna pay for it.
I can't think of words right now. Price hike yeah, is just fucking ridiculous. And like, I know there are people out there who are like, so stupid. there's a quality expected with Nintendo, like making the argument for it. And it's like, really? Is there like a expectation when it comes to the quality of like, especially like online stuff with Nintendo? And then also with like how like small the library is at launch and stuff like that. And now seeing just like all of the technical issues, it's like, really, this is what we were going to defend, like the price hike of $50.
I need you to go to my tweet that I put up last night, because again, I streamed for about 2 hours, me going through a bunch of different N64 games.
Yoshi's Story?
No, I did not play Yoshi's Story.
Also,
no.
Do you feel like you are part of the problem?
Yes and no. I mean, yes, because I give them money.
No, it's real o'clock. It's like 10:42 in the morning. I'm asking the hard questions.
This shouldn't be an issue in the first place. You're not going to blame me for this. This is Nintendo. They don't have to do this.
Look, sir, I asked you a simple question that needed a simple response.
So this is a tweet. That's all that's happening. Well, here's the thing, right? Last night, I did have a net overall positive experience because at the end of the day, these are N64 games that I love to go back to, and I had a blast going back. And I played Mario 64, I played Star Fox 64, I played what was the other thing I played? I played Mario Kart 64.
Did you have the 3D All-Stars Collection already for Mario 64?
Well, that's actually where I want to talk about. The reason why I started off Mario 64 was just more, it was more symbolic than anything. You know, that was me being like, cool, Mario 64 is the OG N64 game. That was a launch title. It was one of my first video games. I want to start this off right. Let's start off with some Mario 64. And upon starting the game, I immediately noticed that the controls were off, to which I was like, oh, certainly this won't be a problem. I can just remap the controls. Turns out you can't remap the controls, and the controls in this game are stupid. Wait, and I don't understand why the controls in this game are stupid.
Am I understanding this? So you have A, B on, where's the fucking Nintendo controller right now?
I wish I brought my N64 controller as well.
You have A, B on A and B, which makes sense for a Switch adaptation, right? But then you have down C on the Y button, and then, like, why? Why was that the decision?
I don't know. And it would be a whatever decision if you could remap it. The issue is you can't remap it. And they have different control schemes for different games. This is the control scheme for Star Fox, which is the same one for Mario 64 for the most part. But yeah, on Mario 3D All-Stars, they have the better control scheme. I don't know why in Mario 3D All-Stars they have it correct. They have it the way it should be, in the way that the N64 controller is shaped, where the A button, N64, should be where the B button on the Switch is. And the B button for the N64 should be where the Y button on the Switch is. I don't know why or who over at Nintendo was just like, hey, let's make our own control scheme that's not going to make sense and let them not remap it. Okay. I can remap it in emulators. It's not that big of a step to take to allow people to go through
Janet,
it.
Janet, I need you to ask whatever you're about to ask with Mario right now.
I just brought him here because maybe, you know, can shed some light on the situation. I brought out my little Mario plushie that I have here. I'm just soaking it all in, honestly. I mean, here's the thing. I think it's totally fair to like criticize this product because that's kind of the point of why we're here, right? We're here to talk about games and products and softwares and systems and all that stuff. But yeah, this is kind of hearing you describe this. It does end up feeling like, which I often feel this way as a Nintendo fan, where it's like, you're with this like shitty person and like, oh, shitty person did shitty thing. And it's like, yeah, I've heard this story before and it's just rough. But yeah. I mean, I think it's really unfortunate that they struggle so much with something that is very much theirs. It's not like they're porting inherently, but like, this is your stuff.
It's also not like thing to work.
There's also not that many things on there. And
it's also
just,
not like it's not been done before. That is the thing, is it's been done before by amateurs. People who put together, and this is me calling people who put together emulators and shit amateurs, but people who aren't Nintendo have done this exact same thing with way more competence. It makes zero sense. Parsec is the thing that exists. If I wanted to right now, I could go and I can emulate Mario Kart 64 and play it through with friends through Parsec and have a way better experience.
But you wouldn't
than playing,
because that's illegal, so you wouldn't do
and
that.
I, no,
this is
not,
this crime.
This is not
crime.
Me saying I would do this. This is
Let's turn
crime.
To a life
this
of
is
crime.
Me saying I can do this with a lot more ease and a lot in a way that with that has been executed with a lot more competence than is through Nintendo's own system. And it's like, Why? Why is that the case? Why can't you get this right? It makes no sense how little effort they put into this stuff.
Also, I saw, I'm not gonna name names, but I saw across my timeline, someone was like, oh, here's like what this thing looks like, you know, side by side with like, I think they had a still an up-res version of like Mario Kart 64. It was like running on original hardware, but maybe it had like a HDMI cable or something to kind of make it look a little sharper. And they're like, you know, it's not much, but I'm happy with how it looks. And I was like, this looks basically the same. And I showed everyone in my house. I'm like, which one's the Switch version? And no one could guess. And I just feel like so many choices were made and none of them seem like the right choice. Yeah, see, and that's kind of shocking that you can make such a
My thing is, I don't even need them to go above and beyond. It would be great if they went above and beyond. You know, like, it'd be great if I could get all these games in 1080p and in a widescreen aspect ratio, and if online could work perfectly, and if I can get matchmaking. It'd be great if they went above and beyond. What I'm asking for, Janet, is the bare minimum. And that's how much of a diehard N64, like, I'm willing to pay you the extra money begrudgingly.
Is it that you want the online? Just buy an N64. Like, you can just do this on your own. Just separate yourself from the whole process.
No, I want to be able to play these games on my portable Switch system. That is what I want, because that is the promise of the Switch. That is the promise of the Switch. And I'm willing to pay begrudgingly this dumb price for these features. But they don't want to give me the bare minimum.
Like, it's just, yeah. I mean, I guess I can't fully sympathize or empathize with this, because I love the N64 as well. I also very much grew up on the N64. That was one of the earlier consoles I had, the first one being the SNES Junior, because my family was like, we're not getting y'all an N64 because we don't even know if you like games yet. But there's like six games on this thing. One of them is Mario Kart 64. I'll play that at any time anyone asks me for the vibes, the nostalgia, but it's not a great kart racer in the era of Mario Kart 8. Like, I know they do different things and one's nostalgia and one isn't, but like, I'm not gonna get hyped for Mario Kart 64. Super Mario 64 I already have on the Switch. So all we have left is like Star Fox, tennis. You ain't gonna get me hyped for tennis. I ain't never want to play the sports games, so like, that's not gonna do anything for me.
Oh my god, tennis is so good though. I guess Mario Tennis. I was playing it last night.
I'll give you Zelda.
This is my thing.
But you can also
play
that on the 3DS, I feel like,
yeah,
right?
Both Ocarina and Time and Majora's Mask, which are more updated versions of those games, are on the 3DS. And that was like the main thing where I was like, man, if I had no other way to play Ocarina of Time, I would maybe think about getting this right now. But like, I can just fucking turn on my 2DS and fucking have a great old grand time there.
I mean, here's the thing, guys.
With not bullshit controls.
I'm not saying what you guys are saying are wrong, but you guys are speaking for yourself, right? I'm talking about
I can't understand where you're coming from.
Which is cool. Let me explain to you where I'm coming from. When I look through this library that's here already, I see Dr. Mario 64, which I absolutely love. Dr. Mario 64 is such a fun time. I see Zelda Ocarina of Time, which speaks for itself. Mario Kart 64, which is my favorite Mario Kart. I love Mario Kart 64. I'm playing it last night. It was a blast. Mario Tennis, which is such a fantastic game on the N64. Star Fox 64, which ages so gracefully. I was playing that for most of the stream last night, and it was fantastic. Mario 64, which speaks for itself, even though there's already Mario 3D All-Stars, whatever. Win Back, which is here for some reason. Yoshi's Story, which whatever. And then Sin and Punishment, which I want to play.
You're brushing off Yoshi's Story? No respect for Yoshi?
I joke about Yoshi's Story because, like, I remember, like, really liking that game as a kid, but nah, that's not a great game.
Even as a kid. Yoshi's Story was one of the first games where I was like, this ain't great. That was me at the age where...
As a follow-up to Yoshi's Island, like, nah, it's a very disappointing game.
I was one of the kids that would play anything, right? Like, you give me a video game, I'll play that shit. Yoshi's Story was one where I was like, I'm not playing this shit. My sisters loved Yoshi's Story. I could not rock with Yoshi's Story. But I say that to say that, despite these issues, right? Last night, I did have a blast playing these games. And half of it is nostalgia, of course. Other half of it is, I do think these are genuinely some really fun games and fun versions of these games, removed from, like, all the technical shit and bullshit of the Nintendo Switch Online. If they could give this to me in a way that... just again does the bare minimum, I'm down for it, because I think there's something special about playing OG versions of the games. I don't need it to be 1080p. I don't need it to be extravagant versions. I don't need it to be remastered. Just let me play the OG games in a way that is official and in a way that lets me take advantage of the Switch being portable and the Nintendo system being good to use and all these things. And, you know, we'll call it square. The fact that they can't give me that is such a bummer. And it's whatever, man. I'm gonna continue to stay in the 64. When more games come to it, I'll still play those games. But god damn it, Nintendo, why? Why do you make these decisions?
You know the ones that are gonna show up too are gonna be like the ones you've never heard of and do not care about, and then also like maybe Majora's Mask or something.
Yeah, and of course, like, I'm going to get comments, and I'm already seeing people in chat, like Charles Jacobson is like, what if I told you, Bless, that you could play these games on online on PC with a better experience?
Yeah, but it's illegal.
I know, it's illegal, and I know.
He's trying to break the law, and that's the thing, too. You're
also telling me this, like, I've not done this before. Like, I played, and this is me as somebody who owned Ocarina of Time. I played Ocarina of Time on PC throughout the whole experience, right? I've played the fun Mario 64 mods.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. I've done this. I've gone through that option. I'm sorry, I'm ranting. Janet, go on.
They're like waiting outside your house now to the Nintendo police to come get you out here committing crimes. You know, but I've never done that. You know, I've known people that have done it. And maybe I picked up the controller, but like I was just, you know how it is. People pass around the controller. There's a Raspberry Pi out. It gets wild Friday nights. For me, I think I am also of that mind. Like I love sticking to official stuff as much as I can. I joke that like, emulation's a crime, but like, it's not that deep for me necessarily. I just prefer to do stuff the, you know, quote unquote legitimate way if possible. And I like being given those options and I'll try to take advantage of those options to show that like, hey, there's a demand here. And like, I am the demand and I'm here supporting it. I did see some people in chat before we move on say like, yeah, I'm with Janet, let the past die. I never said that. I love old Nintendo
Janet hates old Nintendo games. It's been said here.
Yeah, sure, whatever. I don't really care too much one way or the other, but I legitimately do love like a Nintendo's back catalog. I think it has a fantastic library. I think it's one of the like libraries that ages the best when we look at gaming history. And I still play a lot of those older games. I mean, I have a bunch of stuff. Like I have... I haven't used it yet, but I have like the freaking, what is this? The GB operator where you can play Game Boy cartridges on your PC, like and like stream them and stuff. Like I'm excited to have that. I have the Eon HDMI stuff. Like I'm someone who's out here dropping 150 to play Mario 64 on original, add the physical game. That's like another, you know, $40 to $80, however much I spent on that cartridge. Like, yeah, I'm down for that stuff and I'm down to rebuy it on the Switch as well. And I have, and I've gone on my Wii U and I've done stuff on Virtual Console. I just find it frustrating the way they're approaching it. I don't think it's an enticing deal. And the thing is, like, as good as Ocarina of Time is, as fun as Mario 64 was, like, there are still limits. Like, I don't mind rebuying it a bunch of times because I've already done that. Like, that's fine. But, you know, even I have my lines and this is one of them for me. I just feel like it's not a good product and I'm not going to pay for it. If someone gives me it to make content, I'll do that because a gig's a gig. But I'm not going to bring my family into this Nintendo hellhole. And people say like, oh, it's like 30 cents a day or something. You can't pay it that way either. There's no monthly option. You buy it or you don't buy it. So I don't know why people keep bringing up the financial breakdown. Also, if you do that for everything, you can justify buying it everything. At the era of subscription services, you know, Netflix, Hulu, freaking, you know, Apple TV and all that, like you have to draw the line somewhere. And I think a lot of us have been mindful of that in the last like 5 to 10 years. And yeah, this is one of them for me where when you look at all the other subscription things, this is the one that's not worth it and the one that I'm not doing. Okay, like I pay $10 a month for Spotify and I get almost all music ever. You know, I'm dropping what, $120 broken down into $10 a month on Game Pass, and I get a bunch of, like, there are so many services that do this kind of thing better. And frankly, I would rather have the Starbucks coffee than the Nintendo Switch Online. I think the pumpkin cream cold brew is way better than Nintendo Online. That's my take.
Before we move on, I'm going to issue some self-your wrongs, right? Like, because people were being very technical in chat. Emulation isn't illegal or like a crime or anything. It is like stealing ROMs specifically is like where things get very legally questionable. And so I wanted to mention that. And then also somebody in chat said you wouldn't emulate a car. And what I'll tell you is that you should talk to me in 2010 when I was emulating Cruising USA. Now let me remind everybody that you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get the show ad free. And speaking of ads, let us tell you about our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by Liquid IV. Flu season is in full swing, and let me tell you, being properly hydrated makes a huge difference. That's why I use Liquid IV to stay hydrated and support a strong immune system with delicious flavors like watermelon, strawberry, and lemon lime. I've been using Liquid IV for years. I absolutely love it. It helps me stay hydrated when you're feeling a little hungover, or even if you're just kind of feeling a little groggy. This is the best way to get hydrated fast. Liquid IV uses cellular transport technology, which is a very fancy way of saying it contains the perfect balance of vitamins to help you hydrate quicker. Grab your favorite Liquid IV flavors nationwide at Walmart, or you can get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code KFGD at checkout. That's 25% off anything you order when you get better hydration today using the promo code KFGD at liquidiv.com. That's liquidiv.com with the promo code KFGD. Next up, shout out to DoorDash. We're getting close to the holiday season and things are bound to get a little hectic soon. Why not give yourself one less thing to worry about? Get dinner covered with DoorDash. Along with the restaurants you love, you can now get groceries and other essentials delivered with DoorDash. You can get drinks, snacks, and other household items in under an hour. I love DoorDash. I've been using it for so long and it's just great to not have to worry about stuff, be able to order food and have it delivered just straight to me. A fun fact, one of my best friends just had his baby shower last week and I decided a great gift would be get him a DoorDash gift card. For a limited time, you guys can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code GAMES2021. That's 25% off up to $10 value and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code GAMES2021. Don't forget, that's code GAMES2021, G-A-M-E-S, 2021 for 25% off your first order with DoorDash. Subject to change, terms apply. And finally, shout out to DraftKings. The killer crossovers, the nothing but net jumpers, the tenacious throwdowns. Ladies and gentlemen, basketball is back. DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports, is celebrating the return to the hardwood by giving new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. That's really exciting. Score big and you can score big cash. And with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes, it's the perfect time to show off your basketball IQ. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings app now and use promo code KFGD. This week, new customers can get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. All you got to do is enter promo code KFGD to get a free shot at millions in total prizes with your first deposit. That's code KFGD only at DraftKings. There's a minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Remember, promo code KFGD.
I know what you're thinking. We're Blessing and Tim matching in their bomber jackets. And what I'll tell to you, video listeners, is just don't mind it. Don't worry about it. You know, just keep this. Don't think about it too hard. Story number four, Sony is reportedly happy with sales numbers for Kena Bridge of Spirits. I'm pulling from George Yang at IGN. Mike and Josh Greer from Ember Lab have revealed that Sony is happy with the sales numbers of Kena Bridge of Spirits and that the game has already recouped its initial development costs. In an interview with Bloomberg, the Greer brothers didn't provide a sales number, but they noted that they were pleasantly surprised at sales so far. Quote, "It's hard to tell what's a huge success. Sony's happy," said Josh Greer. Mike Greer also mentioned that Sony put plenty of effort into marketing Kena Bridge of Spirits because of the large amount of attention it was getting. It was revealed alongside the PS5 back in June 2020. At game conferences, Ember Lab pitched earlier versions of the game. While there were lots of big publishers interested, the studio eventually closed a deal with Sony for both funding and marketing support. Additionally, Ember Lab was allowed to learn about the PS5 a year prior to its official announcement and was given development kits for the console. As for the studio's next project, the Greer brothers know that it'll be a narrative-driven game. Cool. That's awesome. Like, it's very nice to see that Kena is killing it, because that is a very, very good video game that deserves it.
Yeah, it's nice to see Kena killing it after Kena killed all of us many a time, because it was shockingly difficult. But yeah, I think that's awesome to see it get that kind of support. And yeah, we don't really know, you know, the specifics on the numbers, but I remember from the September downloads that PlayStation put out on their blog, Kena Bridge of Spirits was the third most downloaded game in the U.S. on PS5, right behind Deathloop and 2K22. So I feel like I was pretty surprised to see it that high up there. It was like number one on the EU for that PS5 SKU, downloads wise. So like, yeah, I think that's really awesome. And I think speaks to just how much excitement built around this. You know, I definitely saw a lot of people looking forward to it before it came out. And then obviously when it did come out, I think everyone was a little bit pleasantly surprised. Like, I definitely didn't go into the game expecting it to be bad. Like, I was excited for it from the marketing, but I was a little bit surprised by how good it ended up being. And I think a lot of people felt that way. So yeah, definitely I wouldn't say a sleeper hit because, again, it's doing well. But if you have not checked it out for whatever reason, it's definitely one to take note of. Definitely one of my favorite experiences on PS5 this year.
Yeah, yeah, and I think it's worth noting that being number three in that PSN sales chart behind only Deathloop and NBA 2K22 is super huge for a game that is a new IP from an indie studio that like came out of nowhere. You know, like they had the help of Sony marketing and they had really good trailers to kind of help launch it off the ground, but that is really impressive nonetheless. So shout out to Kena. Story number five, Idris Elba says Knuckles' voice won't be sexy in the new Sonic the Hedgehog movie. And yes, let's give a collective boo. Boo, that sucks. That sucks. Why, Idris Elba? Why? I'm pulling from Rick Stevenson at Screen Rant. Idris Elba has been pretty quiet about his upcoming performance as Knuckles in Sonic the Hedgehog 2, but he's now revealed at least one detail. It won't be sexy. The Red Echidna will make his big screen debut in the sequel to 2020 Sonic the Hedgehog, which is currently scheduled to release on April 8th, 2022, which is way sooner than I thought. For some reason, I thought this movie was years away. I can't believe that it's only like 5 months away.
Yeah, it's weird.
Elba, or maybe like more like seven, math.
Don't worry about the math. Keep going.
Elba will star as Knuckles alongside Ben Schwartz as Sonic, Jim Carrey as Dr. Robotnik / Eggman, and James Marsden as James Marsden. When he was first introduced in Sonic the Hedgehog 3, Knuckles...
No, you can't just fucking roll past that as James Marsden as James Marsden.
In the article, they write Sonic and Dr. Robotnik. They don't give James Marsden's character's names. Right, so I just have to say James Marsden is James Marsden. When he was first introduced in Sonic the Hedgehog 3, Knuckles wasn't exactly best friends with Sonic. Instead, the Echidna was positioned as a minor antagonist, a muscle-bound brute easily tricked by Dr. Robotnik into fighting Sonic, only to realize later on that Eggman was the true enemy all along. By all accounts, the version of Knuckles in Sonic the Hedgehog 2 will follow that same story, likely joining Sonic in the battle against Dr. Eggman before the movie ends. Elba's full quote on the matter goes, quote, "Honestly, I cannot say. Contractually, I cannot say anything. But I wouldn't say he was sexy. I don't think I'm going for that. That's for sure." End quote.
Janet, here's a question I have for you. No, I'm Uno reversing this. Baseline Knuckles, is that voice sexy to you?
Like Knuckles, like in the game. Original? In the game, no. Well, okay. Actually. Bear, I'm going to need you to find a clip of Knuckles.
No.
For us to play in the show.
God damn it.
I started
we're running
pulling
so
in.
Late.
We're gonna move on to the next news story, but before out today, we'll circle back. I got to hear Knuckles' voice again because the answer might be yes.
It's a little.
What do I need to look up? Raspy. Like I don't fucking play any of these goddamn games.
Any 3D game with a cutscene.
Yeah, I would just look up Knuckles' voice lines, honestly.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that might be a little bit more created though, which
as Barrett's looking that up, let's move on to our last news story. Story number six. This is a follow-up to today's PS Love You XOXO that went up. Little Devil Inside will be at tomorrow's State of Play. This is from at PlayStation on Twitter. They tweeted out this morning, "All aboard for tomorrow's State of Play, which includes your first in-depth look at Little Devil Inside. Tune in at 2 p.m. Pacific time," which all I gotta say is don't doubt me, everybody. Don't doubt
Here's
me. This
the thing.
Is one of my
well, first
predictions.
Of all, this was one of your hopes. It was not a prediction. But yes, I'll still give this to you because it counts as you calling something. But PlayStation, what the hell? Why didn't you confirm any of my predictions or hopes?
Oh, yeah. You're
it feels like they went out of their way. Again, PlayStation, clearly a fan of the show. Listen to, you know, put out this post. They're like, okay, let's.
Yeah, PlayStation, why didn't you tweet out that Final Fantasy 16 isn't gonna be at tomorrow's State of Play, PlayStation?
Exactly. What's up with that?
All right, Barry, do you have it for us?
Go ahead.
I do. I'm not happy about it.
We battled all right. I remember like it was yesterday.
It was yeah, that's sexy. Yesterday. That's this is what from was? Sonic Colors. Let's just say, just to give context to the kids.
It was yesterday.
This is Travis Willingham.
What was?
Too.
Let's just say he won't be bothering us again.
Oh, Janet, what are you saying? Is this sexy to you?
Okay there, fella, calm down.
Not really. I feel like if we're thinking of sex appeal solely as like a like raspy and kind of like, I guess, yeah, like a raspy vibe, I think is usually what
depending
a
on
sexy
the
voice
symbols.
For like a man ends up being cast as, or like the
is
paid out
on is one this ball. The pacer test, Spirit?
If you have three balls in the machine, it's triple yeah. to 600
This sounds
rings.
Like the pacer test.
But
if
I don't know what that is.
Symbols come up and match,
I can't even hear it.
No, I don't think it's a pacer test.
Oh, you can't hear it. I forget you can hear it.
Twinkling and bright. I hate it. There's bingo on the table.
Bingo! Okay, you can pause it, Barry. You can pause it.
Yeah, I think Scott Dreher's Knuckles from like Sonic Adventures 2 is probably like the quote-unquote like sexiest sounding one.
No!
But it's not like Yeah, I feel, but it's
what we just listened to. You're saying is the sexiest one?
Not exactly from that voice clip, but I've heard other clips where I feel like it has that, like, you know, that energy. Like, I don't know.
What does that mean?
Like, you know, like that antagonist-ish adjacent vibe, like, you know, like sort of kind of, you know,
When Annie ever does his like pretend anime voice, right? Where he's like, kept you waiting, huh?
I mean, I kind of get what Idris Elba, I feel like Idris Elba, this is more of how he feels his, that character's voice sounds and him not feeling it sexy. But I think people
it's going to be very interesting hearing Idris Elba try not to be sexy. That's what I'm going to say. Because come on, bro. We know who you are. We've heard you before. We've seen you before. Now,
is
before
he a
we
better
move on,
actor than he is more, like, I don't know how to actually make this joke. So I'm just going to just keep going.
I'm very curious on where you're going with that. Is he better?
Is he better at acting than he
is that being sexy?
But it's like inverted. Like, I couldn't explain it properly. Just keep going. It's
I feel like I kind of hear you coming from. And the answer is that he's a great actor who is very sexy. And we ended there. Barrett, what the pacer test is in high school, in PE, they would have days where they would bring in a big boom box. And,
and you'd run, like, do the back and forth. And
the
like,
pacer test
God, I missed that. Yeah. Those were fun.
Let's do it. Let's replicate it. Kind of funny.
I feel I could knock it out of the park now. Well, it's speed, though, right? I can be pretty fast.
No, it's endurance. It starts off as endurance. And then later on, it becomes more about speed.
I'm probably the best runner at Kind of Funny. I think that's pretty safe to say, right? Like, I don't know if anyone else runs.
I mean, are you fast? Because I know you do, like, the marathons.
I have not done a marathon yet. I'm going to do my first one this next year. But I think my fastest mile is, like, high six or something. Fastest mile recorded.
Mike, I think Mike can claim that he can do a sub 7 mile, which I don't. I still.
Mike
don't know
claims a lot of things. I think your biggest struggle is going to be
super recently. But
your biggest struggle is
going to
be Andy in America.
Yeah,
if you can defeat
Greg
Andy in America,
Greg in Europe. And I'm going to throw this out there. Someone in the chat says Cool Greg. I feel like Cool Greg could probably run pretty fast.
Yeah, I think Cool Greg would outrun all of us. He has very long legs. Jane, I can't wait for us to do the Kind of Funny pacer test one of these days in the new studio. But that day is just so far away. If I wanted what was coming out to Mom and Grop shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Out today, we got Story of Seasons, Friends of Mineral Town for PS4 and Xbox One, Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy for PS5, PS4, Xbox Series X, Xbox One, Switch, and PC, Darkest Dungeon 2 for PC, Neptunia, Cross, Senran, Kagura, Ninja Wars for PS4, The Smurfs Mission Valif for PC, Moonglow Bay for Xbox Series X, Xbox One, and PC, Iron Harvest for PS5, Xbox Series X, Shadow Corridor for Switch, Hermitage, Strange Case Files for Switch, LOL Surprise Movie Night for Switch, Defend the Rook for PC, Kathy Rain Director's Cut for PC and Mac, and then Forgive Me Father for PC, the sequel to, what was it, Jana? Don't Hear Me Daddy?
It's Don't Wake Daddy.
Don't Wake
Daddy. Why do you guys always make it something? This is a child's game.
You brought it up, damn it.
Like, y'all never had to sneak around and not wake up people that were like watching over you. Yeah, like your don't wake your parental guardian. Like,
don't,
you know.
Don't hear me, Daddy. Don't hear me, Daddy. We got an NVIDIA GeForce update for you. Remember, we've partnered with NVIDIA to keep you updated on all the latest GeForce RTX additions to your favorite games, from ray tracing to NVIDIA DLSS to NVIDIA Reflex. NVIDIA DLSS is now accelerating performance with uncompromised image quality in over 120 games and apps, and even more being added every month, including Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy, which you've heard us talk about. Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy is out now with NVIDIA DLSS and ray tracing. You can play that on GeForce RTX desktops and laptops, or stream via GeForce Now. On PC, players can experience Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy at up to 8K HDR with higher levels of detail and uncapped frame rates, and all the other benefits of the PC platform, like ultra-wide multi-monitor, variable refresh rate, G-Sync gameplay, all that good stuff that you love and know. And also, we have Chivalry 2 that is launching for DLSS. Turn to the ultimate medieval battlefield in Chivalry 2, enhanced with NVIDIA DLSS for up to 45% faster performance. New dates for you. We got Shadow Warrior 3. That's been delayed out of 2021 into 2022. Project Apex is coming to Steam in 2022 with a demo out November 5th. Hatsune Miku Colorful Stage is coming to iOS and Android on December 7th, 2021. And then Megaquarium Architects Collection DLC swims to Steam and GOG on November 11th. Deal of the day for you. This comes from at Wario64. He tweets about a Humble Games bundle going on that there, Humble Games. You can get 9 items for $12, including Soul Calibur 6, Injustice 2, Power Rangers Battle for the Grid, Killer Instinct, Mortal Kombat XL, Slap City, and One Finger Death Punch 2. And that is a great package for $12. So jump on that if you're a fighting game fan or if you just want to get into fighting games. Remember, you can go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong, where you can write in and let us know what we got wrong, as we got it wrong, so we can correct it for those watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and on podcast services around the globe. And we surprisingly killed it, Janet. I gotta say, there are like no you're wrongs in this thing. There is one, but we already covered it. And so, shout out to us, Janet. PS Love Tuesdays, back at it. Tomorrow's hosts for Kind of Funny Games Daily are me and Tim. If you're watching this live on Twitch right now, after this, it's Mike and Andy playing some Guardians of the Galaxy. If you want to catch that stream later, you can subscribe to youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays. Remember, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, so stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, game daily.